is I'm going to just talk to you from the book of Job. And, you know, Friday morning is just where I'm at in my Bible reading. I started the book of Job, my normal routine that I do, and I read the Bible. And I love the book of Job. I absolutely love the book of Job. I mean, it's like, mwah. Me and the book of Job were like this. And I just started reading it, and my heart was touched all over again, just the first two chapters. And I was like, oh, I love this story. This is so good. And I was like, I'm going to talk about this on Sunday. So it's show and tell week. I had fun this week in Job, and so I'm going to share it with you. So really quickly, I just want to give you an overview of the story of Job. So Job, nobody knows exactly the exact date that he lived, but scholars, you know, best estimate from his way of life that he probably lived back around the time of like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the patriarchs, and probably lived way back then, you know, Genesis type time period. And Job was an extremely righteous man. He loved God. He served the Lord. He was faithful to God. And as a result, God had blessed him. I mean, abundantly blessed him. The Bible actually says that he was the richest man in the area where he lived. I mean, he was super rich. He had a bunch of kids. He had a family that totally loved each other. I mean, they were close. They're always getting together and hanging out and having fun together because they just enjoyed being around each other. He was super blessed. There was divine protection over him and his household. There was prosperity because of his faithfulness to the Lord. In fact, God was so proud of him that he just kept boasting about him. He's like, have you ever seen a guy like Job? God actually said, he's the finest man in all the earth. Like when God doesn't lie, there's a lot of people in the earth and he knows every one of us really, really well. And when God says about you, you're the finest person in all the earth, that is good. That is really good. And that's what God said about Job. Well, then one day, Satan comes before God, and God starts boasting about Job. He's like, have you seen my servant Job? And Satan's like, well, of course he serves you and fears you. It's because you bless him like crazy. You always have a wall of protection around him, and you prosper everything he does. But you strike him, you strip that blessing away from him, and you watch. He will stop worshiping you. And then God said, okay, go ahead and do it, but you can't touch Job himself. So Satan goes, and in a really bad day, Job basically loses everything. All of his children die. All of his flocks and stuff are gone. Just loses his wealth, all this kind of stuff. And he's in pain, but Job does good. He keeps worshiping the Lord. He keeps being faithful to God. Job's heart was tested. And then Satan comes before God again. And God's like, have you seen my servant Job? He's awesome. Even when you struck him, he still worships me. He's maintained his integrity. And Satan's like, well, of course he does. He says, because you haven't let me actually touch him. But you let me touch him, and a man will do anything to save his life. You watch, then he'll turn on you. God's like, okay, you can touch Job, but you can't kill him. So Satan goes, and he afflicts Job with massive pain and sores in his body. So bad, Job was like, I mean, get this picture. He was taking broken pieces of pottery and scraping his sores to find relief. I mean, he was just in pain all over his body. Plus the emotional pain. He lost his family. His wife's not that happy at the moment. And he's just pain. And Job has no idea what's going on. And then three friends decide, you know what? We heard what happened to Job. So they get ready. They travel to go see Job with the intent of comforting him and consoling him. So at least their heart was in the right place. They wanted to try. I mean, they didn't have to. They could have stayed where they were and just said, oh, bummer for Job. But they took the time, a lot of time, you know, we're talking weeks probably, traveled to see him and then hung out with him for a long time. Problem is they weren't very helpful. They were actually anti-helpful. And they just start accusing him. And they're like, well, you've probably opened a door somewhere where you've sinned. That's why all this bad stuff's happened to you. And Job's like, I didn't sin. I'm telling you the truth. They're like, Job, why quit lying to us, man? Like, we know you've probably sinned. He's like, I can't think of anything. I'm innocent. And then this goes on for a lot of chapters. And finally, at the end of the book, you know, Job just gets to this place. He is a broken man, and he doesn't know what's going on. And Job's like, God, why are you doing this to me? Like, what is going on? And he's getting kind of accusing God of maybe not treating him very fair type deal. And then God intervenes. And it is, I telling you, if you want to do yourself a favor, read the last, like from chapter 38 onward in the book of Job. Oh, when God starts talking, it's like my favorite part of the whole book. And God just goes on and on and on, describing his wisdom and his to-do list, basically. He's like, here's what my to-do list is as the creator of the earth. He's like, Job, you're so smart. You accuse me. You think I'm not doing a very good job at things. And then he goes, he's like, Job, stand up. Brace yourself like a man. You're going to answer me. And then God just, whoo. And it's like, and by the end of it, you're like, God, you're awesome. And Job is like, God, you're awesome. I spoke foolishly. I was, you know what you're doing. Far be it from me to accuse you. But here's the cool thing. Then God forgives him. And then God says to his three friends, he's like, hey, you represented me. You were telling him and condemning him that he had sinned and he hadn't sinned. And he's like, I'm going to spare you. God was angry at them, actually. He says, you're going to bring an offering. You're going to bring it and sacrifice it to me in front of Job for your sin. And then I'm going to have Job pray for you. And when he prays for you, I'll forgive you. It's interesting. So it happened. God forgave them because of Job's prayer. And then the Bible says that God, you know, the test was lifted. It was over. And God blessed Job the second half of his life more than the first half of his life. Actually, the Bible says it blessed him double, exactly. Double. And he had like 10 more kids. He had a great life for the rest of his life. That's the story of Job. This is an overview of it. So now I'm just going to read the first little bit here. Job chapter 1. There was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. So you see right there, Job was blameless. It means he didn't have any faults. What is about to happen to him had nothing to do with he left an open door for the enemy to come and attack him. Nothing. He had no open doors. He was blameless. There was no fault whatsoever. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. You know what I love about this? I see a family who really likes being together. This is a healthy family. And I think, like, my family is like this, you know, that I married into, the McKinley family. They just love being together. Like, holiday comes around, and all the grandkids and the kids, we gather together, 4th of July, Christmas, Thanksgiving, all at Grandma and Grandpa's house, and it's just, we spend days just feasting. That's what we do. We feast and just enjoy each other's company, and we look forward to that. Our kids are like, I can't wait till the next holiday when I get to play with my cousins again, and it's just, it's the blessing of the Lord. It's because we're a family. We serve the Lord. Our family does, and there's one of the blessings that God does is he gives love and unity between each other. It's actually one of his great blessings when you serve the Lord. And so I can relate to this, and I see this happening with Job's sons. Like, they're just like, hey, let's get together again and invite all the siblings, and I'm imagining their kids were coming too, and let's have it at your house this time. And they had this big feast, and they spend days just having a good time together. So when these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. Now, some people, you know, people want to hold that against Job. Like, why was he afraid that his kids were sinning? But I look at that and I'm like, you got to understand, Job doesn't know all the stuff about God and the ways of God in the same way that you do. He didn't have the Bible. I mean, this is back, he didn't even have the law of Moses at this point. And so he didn't know all of God's ways, but he knew God. He served, what he knew, he served the Lord. And he was just like, hey, I want to make sure. He was an attentive father, and he was led his home in righteousness. He wasn't an absentee dad. He wasn't just letting his kids do what they did and didn't worry about them. And you see many people in the Bible who are great men and women of God, but they weren't very good at leading their children to be great people of God. Does that make sense? Job wasn't one of those guys. Job, he covered, I love this, he's covering his children in prayer as a regular practice. So it wasn't a thing where, why was all of his children, 100% of them are about to die. And it wasn't because he didn't pray enough. Or he left an open door because, you know, he was negligent and he was righteous, but he didn't cover his children in prayer. He was covering them. It was his regular practice. He covered them in prayer diligently. He was a blameless man, complete integrity. God's about to say he's the finest man in all the earth. There's no open door here. That's what I want you to see. All right, you ready? So one day, the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered, the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. And then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? Now, what you're about to read is a proud papa gushing with pride over his son. That's what you're about to read. You know, you parents, you probably felt that at different times. I mean, I have about both my kids. There's just times and I see them and they're doing something really, really right. And I just feel that proud joy. I mean, it's a good pride in my kids. I'm like, oh, that's my girl. That's my boy. Look at them going. They're doing right. Man of integrity, woman who loves the Lord. Yes. And I get so excited. And you just want to boast about your kids. You know, that's the most natural thing for a parent to do. And that's how God's feeling about Job. So he's like, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. I mean, I want God to say that about me. So notice the qualities that God highlights that cause him to boast about his children like a proud papa. Because these are the qualities that we want to pursue in our own life to make God feel that way about us. He is blameless. That means he goes out of his way, Job does, to obey the commands of God and to do what pleases the Lord. Blameless means if I stood Job up in a heavenly courtroom and I said, everybody who has a legitimate claim about a wrongdoing about Job, come and cast the blame. That means nobody would have a legitimate claim. He was blameless. He was a man of complete integrity. You know what integrity is? Integrity is to be in reality who you appear to be. See, integrity, sometimes what we want to do is we have an image we want to put forth. I love God. I'm passionate about the Lord. And when you're a man or a woman of integrity, that means in the secret place or in the public place, it doesn't matter, you actually do what you say you are. You follow through on it. And when you fall short, you admit it. You claim it. You say, you know what? That fell short of the standard of righteousness that I'm aiming to live at. I sinned right there. Would you forgive me? And, you know, they make it right. And they're a person of complete integrity. They're sincere. They really do what they preach. Does that make sense? So that's Job. I mean, God's speaking to Job. God's like, hey, I see him in secret when nobody sees him. I see him in public when everybody sees him. He's the same always. He says he loves me. He's a man of integrity. He really does. He follows through all the time. And when he falls short, he confesses it. I forgive him. And he keeps going forward and doing right. A man of complete integrity, he fears God and he stays away from evil. He was a man, he avoided sin. Satan replied to God, yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. you have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. I love that. Do you know that Job's experience in life, his normal experience, he lived with a continual wall of supernatural protection from the Lord around him, his children, all of his property. So Job didn't have to fear anything because God himself was watching over Job and all his stuff. Not only that, but it says, you have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. So not only did God protect him and all his stuff, but God supernaturally worked favor and caused him and his children and all his stuff to be blessed and to multiply. This was Job's experience. And Satan's like, you know, no wonder he serves you. You bless him for it like crazy. You always protect him and nobody can touch him. Nobody can bring him harm. Of course he serves you. Listen to this. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now, this is the test. This is the test. Are you ready? This is the main point of the message right here. So I want you to hear this. The test is, does Job love and serve God for who he is, or does he love and serve God just to get stuff from him? And that's the test that you and I will go through in life over and over and over and over again. We'll go through the exact same test. The issue is, why do you worship the Lord? Will you worship him when he tests your heart, when the children he blessed you with are taken away? When the divine wall of protection that you're used to living in for a season is removed and the enemy's allowed to afflict you and test your heart, will you worship him then, or do you only worship him because of the stuff he gives you? That's the test Job is going through. Do you worship him because he blesses me and he gives me prosperity and he blesses me at work and he gives me favor? But what about when he doesn't give you favor? What about when no matter how right you do, people hate you for it all the more? People falsely accuse you for it when you're innocent. Do we love him because, you know, I tithe God and I give offerings to the Lord. I'm generous. I don't cut corners. I don't break the commands of God. I have financial integrity. But where's the provision? I mean, miraculous provision. He always provides. You know, we teach this. This is biblical. I live this all the time. But what about when you go through a season of testing and it looks like for a short season, it's stripped away, and it's like, God, where's the provision? Yet he's not let go. He's got you. You'll have what you need when you need it. But sometimes you feel like, where is it at? You guys with me? This is the issue. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And what ends up happening, he's like, well, of course he serves you. I mean, who wouldn't serve you if you gave them billions of dollars for it? And you gave them a happy family that loves each other, and you protect them, nothing bad can happen to you. Who wouldn't serve you? Of course he's going to serve you. Now, God knew the truth about Job. God knew Satan was a liar. God knew, are you kidding? I know Job's heart. His love is for real. He doesn't love me for the riches. He loves me for who I am. And he'll love me whether I strip it all away or I bless him double, he'll still love me. It won't throw him off. And you know that our test, the way that our hearts can be tested is both extremes. We can be tested by having everything stripped away. Persecution, you guys with me? Or the Bible also says a man is tested by the praise he receives. We can be tested by success. It's interesting, this exact same Satan comes to Jesus at a later season when Jesus is a human being living on the earth, and he's fasted for 40 days. And you know what Satan does? Satan takes him up on some pinnacle, somehow shows him all the kingdoms of the earth, and says to Jesus, the Son of God, test him. You know what he says? He says, hey, worship me, and I will give you all that. You know what's happened? The Son of God's loyalty to the Father is being tested. And Jesus said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He's like, I'm not doing that. You know what Satan was doing? It was Jesus' destiny to be the king of all the nations. I mean, that was his destiny. He's going to have it. He's going to rule the nations. He got it. Okay? Now, here's the deal. Satan was offering him a shortcut to his destiny, avoiding the cross. Satan's like, why go through the cross? Why go through all the suffering? I'll just give it to you right now, as long as you worship me. But here's the problem. Satan will offer you shortcuts, even to things that are godly ambitions that you have in your heart. But here's how you know whether it's from God or from Satan. If it's from Satan, you'll always have to compromise to take hold of it. Jesus says, no, I'm not only going to fulfill my destiny, I'm going to have all these kingdoms, but I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going through the cross. I'm going through the testing. And my love for the world is going to be revealed. It's real. I know it's real. My Father knows it's real. But I'm going to go through the cross. I'm going to endure immense suffering, mistreatment, and rejection. And you know, one of the reasons why I'm going to do that is because the love that's real inside of me is going to be openly manifest to the demons, as well as to all of creation, all of human beings. Therefore, when the Father gives me the nations of the world, Book of Revelation says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive all of it. Why is he worthy? Because he loves us so much, he was willing to lay his life down in love for us. That's why he's worthy to lead and have all that. Does that make sense? I believe this with all my heart. I believe this is, the book of Job is so relevant to us because the bride of Christ worldwide is about to go through a Job-like testing. Everything's going to look upside down. Those who are the most righteous are going to be the most persecuted. Those who are faithful to the Lord. It even says among genuine believers that brother will turn against brother. A father will betray his son, and a son will betray his father. And if we just have this thing where it's like, I could totally imagine myself in a situation like that, being like, God, where's your faithfulness? You know, I'm in agony over my children. You know, to me, there's nothing more important to me outside of myself being faithful to the Lord is my wife and my children. If I fail in everything else, let me be successful at that. I want them with me forever, not in hell. The body of Christ is going to go through a testing across the world, intense testing. The bride of Christ is. And here's the deal. The bride of Christ is going to go through a test. And the Bible says that many will fall away from the faith. Many, their love will be proven not genuine. Because when the test comes and they have to choose between comfort and their homes and their stuff and their favor and their honor or Jesus, they'll say the right thing, but when it comes down to it and they actually have to make the choice and the pressure's on, they'll choose the stuff. And God saw it in their heart all along. He knew, it didn't surprise him. He knew all along that when they said the right things, but in their heart, they loved the stuff. They loved themselves more than they loved the Lord. And the testing will bring to the surface what God already sees in the heart. But there'll be many who don't turn away from the faith. There will be many of understanding who will be like Job. They won't deny the Lord. They'll be faithful to the Lord. And even when everything's stripped away, the Bible says that they will overcome the devil. How? The accuser of the brethren. It uses the same language in the book of Revelation. How are we going to overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and because we love not our lives unto the death. And it's like mind-boggling to people. They're like, why are you willing to die for this God? You say he blesses you. I don't see any blessing. But we know the end of the story, because listen to this. God is going to use this to strengthen and purify the love of his bride. And it's our love is going to come forth like pure gold refined in the fire. And the testimony of our love for the Lord, that we loved him for who he is and not just for his stuff, that we trusted him even when it looked totally bleak, we had the hope, we believed the word, he's coming again. And listen, like Job, in the end, we'll be blessed at the end of our eternal life for the rest of billions of years, more than we were at first. Way more. I mean, he's going to more than double our stuff. What was Job blessed with? If you read the end of the story, here's some of the stuff that when God blessed him, and it said he blessed him twice as much as he did at the beginning. You know what he gave him? Favor and honor with people. People came from all over and gave gifts to Job, and they honored him because they recognized this is a great man of God, a great man of integrity. He was honored for the rest of his life. He had long life. He lived for like 140 more years or something like that. It said he lived a long, full life. God gave him back 10 children again, 7 sons, 3 daughters. God blessed God gave him riches. He was twice as wealthy as he had ever been before. And God is going to bless his bride in eternity. He's going to give us riches forever. We're going to be very wealthy, very wealthy. He's going to give us honor. He's going to give us favor with people. He's going to literally crown us with glory. We're going to have resurrected bodies that reveal his affection and favor over us. Is this making sense? Testing refines, strengthens, and reveals the quality of genuine love. That's what it does. And like I talked about Jesus on the cross, but guess who's going to be, you know, Jesus, all the nations of the world, no one's going to have the problem with Jesus having all that power and authority for many reasons, but one of the chief reasons being he loves. He laid down his life. His love is real. It's genuine. He's devoted to his Father. He could not be corrupted by anything. And it was proven through what he suffered. But guess who's going to be ruling the nations with him? He's not doing it alone. You and me. The bride of Christ. And we're going to have tremendous authority doing this with him. And you know what? The world's going to look at us. We're going to be glorified with Jesus. We're going to walk in he's going to share his glory with us. We're going to have power and authority, amazing riches, amazing honor, amazing favor, amazing blessing, amazing rich relationships that we'll enjoy forever and ever and ever. And the people will look at us and they're not going to be jealous of us. Like, why is God blessing them that way? And because everybody's going to know the story. Their love was tested. They had it stripped away. They went through it, but they loved the Lord for who he is, not just for this stuff. The Lord wants to bless us. God knows our hearts, and he knows that our love is genuine. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is what? It's interesting. Two of Jesus' apostles, I can't remember who it was, James and John, I think. Could be wrong on that. They come to Jesus and they're like, hey, when you come into your kingdom, in other words, when you're ruling all the nations as the king of Israel, hey, let us be the number one and number two man. Let us sit right with you next to your throne and have that highest seat of honor in your government. Let us be the vice president, you know. That's kind of what they're going for. It's pretty audacious, you know, and Jesus actually doesn't even rebuke them for that desire, but you know what he says? He says, you don't even know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup of suffering that I'm going to drink? And they're like, yeah. They don't know. I mean, they're honestly, in their minds, they're thinking it's like weeks away from happening. So they're thinking, he's about to go in. We're on our way to Jerusalem. He's going to take the throne. Here we go, baby. All the promises are fulfilled. They didn't know he was going to be crucified. They didn't know there's going to be a couple thousand years and they were going to be killed for their faith and persecuted and tested. And he's like, can you drink the cup? Do you know what is required? To whom much is given, much is required. You want that kind of honor. I want to give it to you, to be honest. That's your destiny. But I know what it takes to prepare the hearts of men to handle that kind of authority and privilege and not be corrupted by it. And of course, everybody says, I won't be corrupted by it. Trust me, I won't be like those other guys. And God's like, I love your ambition. I think you're sincere and you think you're real. But I know your heart. And when you're tested, I mean, so Peter, you know, Jesus looks right before he's arrested. He's like, guys, you're all going to deny me. Every one of you. That you even know me. And Peter's like, no, I won't. Not me. I mean, yeah, just between you and I, Lord, these guys, I get it. They're kind of weak. I see their flaws too. I have discernment. But, you know, probably they will, but not me. You know me, Lord. I'll die for you. I'll never deny you. Lord's like, Peter, man, I love you. I had this conversation again with Satan, like he did with Job. He's like, Satan's actually asked to sift you like wheat. Do you have any idea? You don't have any idea of the testing you're about to go through. But he gets something that Job didn't have. At least he had this promise that Jesus said to Peter. He says, but don't worry, I've prayed for you that your faith won't fail. Jesus is arrested. Peter denies the Lord. And he realizes and he sees his own weakness. He was blind to it before. The Lord saw it the whole time. Why does God allow us to go through tests? He reveals our hearts to us. The question is, when you see your weakness, how will you respond in that moment? That's the key. It's not like, oh no, God, I had no idea I was capable of this. He's like, I knew you were capable of that. And I allowed you. It's interesting, in everyone, with Job and with Peter, Satan's on a leash. He can only go so far. He can't just do anything he wants to us. God will never let you be tested beyond what you can handle, is what the scripture says. And he says, Satan, you can touch his stuff, but you can't touch him. Then round two, you can touch him, but you can't take his life. Yeah, Jesus is arrested in the garden, and he's like, let these guys go. And they go free. It wasn't their time yet. They weren't ready for it yet. But then later on, Jesus is resurrected. He comes back to Peter, and he's like, Peter. Peter's just feeling shame. Peter's feeling like, I failed. I didn't. He's like excited. He's like, wow, Jesus is alive. This is on. He's there. But deep inside, there's this unresolved issue in his heart. He knows what happened, and he knows God, Jesus knows about it. And there's a conversation for Peter's sake that needs to happen. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Peter's like, oh. He had to go there. Yeah. He's like, Peter, do you love me? Like, really? Not just saying it. Do you really love me? For real? Peter's like, yeah, Lord, yes. You know I love you. Last time, Jesus is like, Peter, do you love me? Peter was like, oh, Lord, I think I do, but you know all things. You know, that's kind of... You know what ended up happening? Peter was actually strengthened by becoming poor in spirit. His confidence wasn't in his own self-will anymore. His confidence was not in his own zeal. His confidence was in the Lord's power to keep even a weak man like himself, because he realized, I'm just as weak as everybody else. I'm just as capable of awful things as much as anybody else. If it weren't for the grace of God that holds me, God, you know the truth. I do love you. Help me. Lord's like, Peter, there's more to your story. I got another prophecy for you. When you're older, you'll be tested again. And next time, you're going to come through with flying colors. You will die for me, and you'll be faithful. You're going to be one of the pillars in my church, honored and celebrated forever and ever and ever. Weak Peter, and we're just like him, and the whole bride of Christ is going to, we're going to go through this. This is life. Do you understand that this little 75 years, whatever it is, 30, I mean, nobody knows how long we're going to live. Do you know that this little life, the purpose is this? Number one, will you love and serve God? Are you going to be part of his family? It's the number one choice that we have. And our hearts are tested, and the Holy Spirit works in us to sanctify and to refine us and to purify and mature and strengthen us in love. And then we live forever after that with the Lord in his kingdom on this very earth, ruling and reigning with him in prosperity, in total 100% protection, with relationships, family, friends, all over the place. And this is our training. We need to, so many times we live in this myopic, it's the most natural thing to do. I do the same thing, you know. And it's like we get so engrossed in our own world and in our own life, you know, that it's like we forget, we lose perspective. And God's looking at the big picture. He's not looking at this little dot on the timeline. He's looking, he's from eternity to eternity. He's like, do you think that your primary purpose in life is just for these 70 years? This is an important assignment, but this is training for the even more important assignment. You know, we have information that Job didn't have because we have the scriptures. Yeah? So Job, you know, I don't know if he had much of a revelation about eternal life. He just knows my 10 kids are gone. And I'm not getting them back. They're dead. Now we know he's going to die 140 years later. And if they were serving the Lord, he's going to be with them forever. The little 140 year break, their relationship will pick up right where it left off. And it'd even be better forever and ever and ever. You know, and so God knows that, but sometimes we get so zoomed in on this little life that we need to zoom out and look at the big picture like God does. Does that make sense? Okay. Where was I at? So what's the test? Yeah, will we worship God and love him for who he is and not just for the blessings? Amen. That's the test. The whole bride of Christ is going to pass this test. The ones who make it into the kingdom will go through this and pass it with resounding, like really good. That was eloquent. Not only will the Lamb be worthy, but his bride, through his grace, will be worthy to rule with him by his side forever. Okay. Verse 12. God says to Satan, all right, you may test him. The Lord said to Satan, do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. I'm just going to move on here. So here's the testing. I guess I won't. So one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided us. They stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, This is all one day. This is the worst day ever, in my opinion. I mean, this has got to be the worst day of Job's life, I'm imagining. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Listen to this. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep. Wow. So I get one thing. It's like, okay, demons stirred up the Sabians and in the next verse, the Chaldean raiders to come over and steal all your stuff. But how do you explain the fire of God falling from heaven and burning up your sheep? So the fire of God has fallen from heaven, burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. I'm thinking at this point, okay, I'm done with receiving messengers for the day. I'm just going to be alone for a little while. But anyway, while he was still speaking, a fourth messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all your children are dead. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. That's the worst day ever. And Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. And then he shaved his head, but listen, look what he did. And fell to the ground to what? Wow. No wonder God was like, that's my boy. You ever seen my servant Job? He's the finest man in all the earth. He loves me for who I am. I love the knee-jerk reaction to the most horrible news ever. He's confused. He doesn't understand what's going on. But his knee-jerk reaction is he grieves, but he worships in the midst of his grief. And he said, this is an important perspective for us to have. Listen, here's a good perspective on life. You ready? I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. It's like I came into the world with nothing. And when I leave, I'm not taking any of it with me. And the Lord gave me what I had. It's his. And the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. I mean, that's amazing. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Now, here's the perspective. I think this sometimes. What if my wife were suddenly taken away from me? I'm so blessed. An amazing family, my kids. What if they were all taken away from me suddenly? One of the things I think about is, Lord, I mean, that would be so painful. That would be so hard to walk through. And one of the things I think about is, you know what? The reality is I know who I was. I was a sinner saved by grace. And I don't deserve even one day of the bliss I've got to enjoy in my marriage or with my kids. But yet I've got to, by his grace, he's given me 20 years with my wife and, you know, 13 years with my kids. And not even 1 hour of that bliss do I deserve. You know what I deserve? I deserve eternal punishment in hell forever because of my rebellion against God. That's what I deserve. But yet he blesses me. And here's the truth. If God never gave me one more blessing for the rest of my life, I'm already blessed far beyond what I deserve. That's the truth. And Job gets this perspective. He's like, you know what? It's all the Lord's stuff anyway. My kids weren't just my kids. They belonged to the Lord, and he let me enjoy them for that many years. Praise the Lord. You know, all the cattle, all the servants, all the sheep, all the riches, all the honor that I had, that all belonged to him anyway, and he allowed me to enjoy it in my possession for this many years. Praise the name of the Lord. I did nothing to earn that. I came naked into the world, and when I leave, I don't get to take any of that with me. But God is so good that even though now I'm grieving at the loss of these things, these blessings from his hand, I'm grieving at the loss of them. But you know what? Praise the Lord. It's all his anyway. He can do what he wants with his own stuff. I'm just a worshiper. Praise the name of the Lord. God's like, yeah, that's what I knew was in there. And he allowed circumstances to showcase the diamond of love that was in Job's heart that God saw the whole time. But he's like, you know what? I know what's in Job's heart, but I'm going to allow a situation to come forth to take what's hidden, that beautiful love that's in there that I enjoy. I'm going to showcase it before the devil and all the evil spirits, and I'm going to showcase it before all the nations of the world because it's recorded in the Bible for our benefit. Job right now is even richer than he was. He's alive. He's with the Lord. And we're going to see him. What are you going to think when you see Job? I know what I'll think. Dude, you're awesome. Can I have your autograph? You know, like lay hands on me and I'll get my Bible out. Can you autograph the book of Job? That was awesome. I mean, who could ever say I have an autographed book of Job? That would be cool. You know, I'm going to be, this guy's the man. I love this guy. He's a righteous man. Lord, how do I know that? The Lord always knew that. How do I know that? Because God allowed a circumstance that showcased his love so that we and even the devils could see. Here's the deal. You know that the demons are accountable to God and they are going to be in hell forever, condemned for their sin. They had it all. They were with the Lord in heaven. They had it all and they chose to rebel. And they're going to have no accusation against God's elect in eternity. Hey, they sin too. Why are you blessing them this way? And the Lord's going to say, he's going to tell the rest of our story. Yes, I did save them. It was nothing of their own merit that I saved them. They're here and saved by grace alone. But their love is real. Look, their hearts were tested and they loved me no matter what. That's how good of a job I did at redeeming their hearts. I didn't just wink at their sin. I changed their very nature and made them into great lovers of God. Okay, last thing. I'm going to pick up in verse 4. So a second test comes. This time Job is allowed to get struck. I just got to say in verse, God's talking about Job in verse 3. At the end of it, he says, he is the finest man. He repeats it. He's the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God, stays away from evil. Listen to this. He has maintained his integrity, even though you, he's talking to the devil, urged me to harm him without cause. Everybody say without cause. So once again, you see, even God's own testimony is like, there was no open door loophole that Job did something wrong, and that's why this happened. There was no just cause for this to happen to him. He's innocent. He's completely blameless. I'm telling you, this is just a test. In the sovereignty of God, he tested his heart. So Satan replied to the Lord, skin for skin, a man will give up everything he has to save. He has to save his life, but reach out and take away his health, and he will surely curse you to your face. And then God lets him do it. Job was afflicted with terrible boils from head to foot. Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. Now here's what I want to say about this. When hearts get tested, how we've prepared, what's really inside comes out. My guess is, a year before this, when all the prosperity and protection, and she was living under for probably decades and decades, she was probably not saying, dude, curse God. She was probably right there like, man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, he's so good to us. We have all this. Praise the Lord. He's so good to us. He's so good to us. Everything gets stripped away, and she's like, just curse him. It's interesting, but Job has the exact opposite response. And he says to her, but Job replied, you talk like a foolish woman. That's true. She was speaking foolishness out of her pain. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. See, the time to prepare for the test is now. It's before the test comes. And one of the ways we prepare is by getting stories like this. That's why God put these in the Bible for our sake. You know why? He wants us to pass the test. I'm going to end with this. Job is special to me. when we first moved here, my son was 3 years old, and firstborn son, and he was having, you know, there's something wrong. There were just, you could tell like something was off with his health. And so we took him in, they did some tests, and we knew that one of the possibilities was of the symptoms he was having was it could be diabetes, but it could have also been a few other things that were not that bad, easy to cure. So here's the deal. I'm so conscious. I've been living in divine health for many, many years. I mean, divine protection. I live in this. I would be at work. People would get sick all around me. And, you know, I could touch them. They could do whatever. And I wouldn't get it. Other people would get it. I wouldn't get it. I mean, I was just living under this divine blessing. So my instant thought is, it's not going to be diabetes for sure. That's the worst thing it could be. It wouldn't be that. It's probably one of these other things. We'll just get an antibiotic to get fixed. Well, we take them in. They do the blood work. And they take it to the lab. And I'm at home by myself. And I'm just doing what I normally do. I'm reading my Bible and praying in the morning. And I just happen to be reading the end of the book of Job on that day. And I read and I have this power encounter with the Lord. When he reveals himself to Job, and Job is like, I spoke foolish things I did not understand. I was wrong to accuse you. If I don't understand, God, forget. I shouldn't have spoke that. I repent. And I remember just like the Spirit moving, stirring my heart really deeply with this resolve, like, God, help me. I know probably someday I'll have to go through some testing. And Lord, I'm not thinking like in 30 minutes. I'm thinking someday things will get hard, and I'll probably have to go through something really difficult. And Lord, when that time comes, prepare my heart. Let me worship you then in that season just as much as I do now when everything's going good. And it was powerful. It was one of those times the Spirit was on me, and I felt his love. I was in my office on my knees just worshiping. God, I will love you no matter what. I'll worship you at all times. And then I finished my time with the Lord. I mean, just a little few minutes or something goes by, and the phone rings. I answer the phone. It's the hospital, the lab calling. Hey, we just finished his test. The results are this. Your son has diabetes. Pack your bags right now, immediately. Get your son, get your wife. Go to Sioux Falls, to Avira. You're going to be there for 3 days. And they're going to teach you. He's going to have it for the rest of his life. And he's going to teach you how to take care of your son. I'm shocked. I mean, it was like out of left field. I did not anticipate this whatsoever. I was just shell-shocked. I was just like, okay, thank you. Bye. My wife wasn't even home yet with the kids. They get home and I'm like, the hospital called. We just packed the bags. I remember we're driving. You know, it was lunchtime. We're like, we should go through a drive-thru to get him something to eat on the way. But we're like, what do we do? I mean, do we give him carbs? We didn't even know how to take care of him yet. And we're just like, God, what is happening? What is happening? What is happening? But you know what I had fresh in my mind? The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm like, just praise. Just pray. I don't even understand what's happening yet. I had no idea what was happening. I'm just like, God, praise you. Praise you. God, in his mercy, gave me the answer to the test 30 minutes before the test showed up. So I knew what to do. God wants us to pass these tests. He cares about us immensely. This is why he gives us the book of Job. The time to prepare your heart is now. And when you get tested, don't let it be like, why am I being tested? It's like, this is life in this age. Stuff happens that doesn't make sense. The Lord is good. Praise him. It all makes sense in the end, and you'll end up blessed. Does that make sense? Amen. Okay, you guys have been good. I've been preaching for 55 minutes. I'm going to stop there. Let's just pray together.